Good morning.
Good morning.
Good serve the Lord. This is how this world. I like the retirement plan especially. Don't you? Thank you, Jesus. I know you're looking forward to the lunch we'll have today, but this is going to be even more important. The Word of God, we get the heavenly bread. I'm glad to see all of you. I really am so glad. It's a lot of memories. A lot of memories packed in this building today. Childhood friends over here from Sharp and Bible study groups. Ken folks, they were with us. I'm so glad to see them. And when Robert and Cheryl and Rebecca came up and sang, I looked at Rebecca, what an awesome, beautiful picture of grace. What an awesome picture. I'm glad Dad could be with us. I miss Mama. Mama's not here, but she's on the other side. And Crystal's Mama's on the other side. Crystal's Mama just wants to be with Jesus. I'm glad Crystal will be with us. See, Crystal's the worship leader over the AJ's, the Church of Acts, and, she decided that since it was the 30th anniversary, she couldn't be with Kevin. So we're glad that she was with Crystal. I hope that you enjoy our service. And you can see, if you see particular glows at different points, these are people who have Martin blood in them. We're very handsome people. And, very intelligent. We just don't have any money. But good looks runs in our family. And when you marry a Martin, your children are going to be exceptionally beautiful. I'm glad to have Mr. and Ms. God with us today. And Brother Jesus, where's he at? I don't know where's Jonathan? Oh, there's Jonathan. All the way back in. That was an awesome program last night. I am telling you. You just sit there and cry. It was beautiful. And, it was fictional. But it gave you a feeling for the other side, for our home. Because Jesus said that he remembered the glory he had with the Father before the world was. If he remembered it, he had to have conscious recognition of who he was before he came in the world. A divine mystery on Messiah. But he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify thee. I've accomplished the work that you give me on earth to do. Now glorify thou me with thyself, the glory I had with you before the world was. In John 17 prayer is an awesome prayer. 1976. Last night when I asked you to use this pulpit, two or three people wanted to know, why do you want to drag that old ragtag thing up there? I'll tell you why. This pulpit could tell you a lot of stories. I built this pulpit in 1976. This was my pulpit. We went to Boyce. I was 35. Betty was 33. Nathan was 11. Andre was 6. And Shannon was 2. We had our first service March the 9th, Shannon's second birthday. We had no money, very little bit of money. No one to back us. But we had a stewardship. And don't ever try this, folks, without a stewardship. Because it'll be the hardest thing you ever did in your life to try to be a pastor of a church or raise up a ministry if you don't have a stewardship from Jesus Christ. Because you're going to have to walk through some tough times in your life, but God will always be there. Well, this pulpit, this was it. There's a lot of oil on here from my hands. But you can tell I'm not a carpenter. But we didn't have anything to work with, folks. We just, the old building God put us in, the beams had rotted out underneath. We had to replace the beams on the floor. It was held together by baling wire and bubblegum, anything else we could find that I'll never regret. This is the only physical reminder we have of Boris. But the story is a lot larger. God told Paul, and Paul told the church, that we were created in the image of Christ Jesus, and that God had prepared good work for us to do from the foundation of the world. That means all of you have chosen works by God for you to do, and they were ordained for you before the foundation of the world. We're to walk in them. Well, Christian Challenge has been a good work, in spite of all my failings, which have been a great many, been a lot of them. As I talk to you about the history a little bit on the ministry, I don't know where to begin necessarily. Where do you begin? Do you begin back in eternity? Or do you begin Wednesday morning, August 28, 1974? You read the bulletin, I gave you two scriptures. I had resigned, I had turned in my letter of resignation to my presbyter and my pastor of the association that I was with. I felt like it was timing. God had me to do that. And the next morning, so I had left the ministry as far as full-time ministry. I had been an evangelist and a pastor, but I had stopped the full-time ministry at an insurance business in Atlanta. The day after I did that, the pastor was a good, godly man. I'll always love him. In fact, he preached for us our 25th Jubilee. Some of you folks remember that, with C.E. Cooley. C.E. Cooley was the district superintendent of the United Pentecostal Campground here, an old friend of ours. And he made a comment to me that stayed with me. He said, "Brother Martin," he said, "these people never have anything else to do with you." And I guess when he said that, he just kind of stunned me, but I knew I had done what God wanted me to do. The next morning, I was at my office. It was like a cloud. Just a cloud of despair came over me. I didn't know what to do. Lord, what am I going to do? The only family I've ever known, the only religion I've known, and you're calling me out. What am I going to do? I fell on my knees. I was crying. I reached for my Bible, and the Bible fell open to the scripture I want to read to you here. Philippians. It's in your bulletin there, I think. I'll look it out for you. Of course, it was in the King James at the time. But this is what God said to me through the Apostle Paul. "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus." Now, when he said that, when the Father speaks to your heart, speaks to you through his Son, the clouds go away and light enters your day and everything's all right. I feel good. I really felt good. I knew we had done right. God reaffirmed that. And I got on the phone. I was so excited to call my wife. Well, I didn't realize that her struggles were equally as mine. This is all she'd ever known. Her father was a pastor, both brothers and ministers. And she had a need too. And before I could tell her what God said to me, she told me what God had just spoke to her. And that's in Galatians 1 and 10. I'm going to read it to you in the New American Standard, our Bible of preference here. "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Can you say amen? What I want to do this morning, take a little bit of your time and give you a kind of a brief overlay narrative of Christian Challenge. And we're going to talk about footprints in the sands of time. Let me pray with you, then I'll tell you where we're going to go. I'm going to spend a little time with you this morning, and I hope it'll benefit you. Because I think most all of you are disciples of Jesus Christ. And the disciple in Hebrew, the Talmud or Talmudim, they sit at the feet of a master teacher. Well, Jesus is our master teacher, but he raises up other people to be teachers under him. And so we listen well to the Lord, what he has to say through his writings and through the man of the pulpit. Let me pray. Father, I honor you and I thank you for all the wonderful, gracious memory. What is 30 years in your sight, Lord? There's nothing like a watch in the night, like a vapor that appeared but for a moment. I was 35 years old, Lord. I'm 65. You have been my stay, and the stay of this family, my family, and this church. And the many people that have gone out from this church, many that go into ministry, pastors and missionaries and other workers for your cause and your kingdom. But God, I just got a strong feeling when it's all over with and we all get to the gates of the heavenly city, we just, whatever crowns we got, we're just going to throw them at your feet. But we didn't earn anything. We were only obedient to you, Lord, and to your call. Help me to share from my heart, share with the tenderness you'd want to be shared, Father. Thank you again for all of our guests. And thank you for Christian Challenge and the family here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you three things. One is when I received a message from God that said, go home. Secondly, I'm going to talk to you about following the steps. And then thirdly, I walk into eternity. I tendered my resignation in 1974. I didn't know what to do. I had no witness to do anything else. My wife and I visited just a few churches, but never really felt it was right. I had people call me, want to know why we'd left. I did the best I could to explain. I had people call me, want me to start a church. I could not do that. Folks, you don't want to start a church. You just don't do it. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He's the builder of the church. We're just obedient bondservants of God. So I told him, no, I couldn't do that. And so we ended up in my home, with the devotions. Every once in a while, somebody would come visit with it, but it was just for my family. And it happened again Friday morning, January the 17th, 1975. I was sitting in the living room playing my guitar, singing a song. Last night I dreamed a dream so real. Battle of Armageddon. About a blood-drenched battlefield. While I was singing, the Holy Spirit moved on me and said, go home. Now, home, Central Louisiana, this is where I'm from. I knew he meant come up here. I instantly told my wife, and she bore witness. We took our children out of school, headed up this way. I didn't know. A lot of times you try to figure out what God's doing, but you really got no business trying to do that because you can't do it. So in my mind, I had been a passionate evangelist in Central Louisiana. I was going to go back to all the different churches I had evangelized, and I was going to make them listen to my testimony. Who wanted to hear that? But anyway, that's my thoughts. What I didn't realize was that there was a little Pentecostal church out in the country had lost their pastor and was praying for a pastor. Had God told me ahead of time, I would have been a Jonah. I would have run the other way because I didn't want a pastor. I had a great fear about pastoring. I'd already pastored a church. I had a fear, and I still have it today. I'm always afraid I'm going to hurt somebody from the pulpit. This is an awesome place to be, folks. You don't want to realize the responsibility comes behind the pulpit. How easy it is to hurt somebody and not even intentionally do that. Maybe they'll misunderstand what you're saying, or something can happen that you can hurt them. So God said, go home. We took our kids out of school, headed home, and I was trying to figure out what churches I was going to go to. I drove into my sister's house to see if she'd take care of the kids, and across the road, a little more Pentecostal church, they called it Red Top Church. I saw the lights were on, but it wasn't a church night. I said, well, maybe we're supposed to go there first. So Betty and I slipped in. There was already a service going on. What they were doing, they had been praying for a few days and seeking God for a pastor. And Brother Edwards was there, and he was trying to help them. He wasn't pastoring them, but he was trying to help them get things together. They'd lost their pastor. We sat down in the back, and Brother Edwards looked at me. He recognized me. He said, Brother Martin, you have anything you'd like to say? I stood up, and I said, I don't know where God sent me. But I'm here. And people started crying. Why were they crying? Well, they heard the voice of their shepherd. They heard the voice of Jesus in their shepherd. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not anybody's shepherd, folks. But people are assigned to a flock. And you're going to know the voice of your pastor. You're going to know that's your pastor and that's your flock. And it scared me. I didn't want a pastor again. I had a good business. I was making good money. I'd made a lot of money. That month that God was calling us back into ministry, I'd made $2,600, which back then was a big, big bunch of money for me. I wept and cried. I didn't want a pastor. He wanted me a pastor. They talked to me and asked me to come be their pastor. I struggled. And I was sitting on the platform, and I said, God, I can't pastor. I'll hurt somebody. He spoke to me again. And he said, I've given you the heart of a pastor. And the moment he spoke that, something happened in my bosom. You see, God's words carry the effect of the gift of the power, whatever it may be. He spoke into my heart. And I knew I was a pastor. You see, David said that the steps of a man are established by the word, by the Lord, or by God, and he delights in his way. And all these footsteps that he was leading me through are just memorial moments. I mean, he's delighted in his way, not in me. Folks, Christian Channel is not about Buddy Martin, about Betty Martin, the Martin family. It's really not. I think you know that by now. It's about obedience to the Lord. It's about following the call of God and about walking in obedience. See, that is where the blessing of the Lord is going to be. And I'm going to talk to you that a little later about have you been to the Garden of Abba. But I want you to understand this part here. And so for 1.5 years, we pastored the Moore Red Top Pentecostal Church in the sweetest bunch of people on God's green earth, I can promise you there. Grandmothers and grandfathers, I needed them. They loved us. They took care of us. They're just... A lot of them are going on to be with the Lord now. I've done a lot of their funerals over the years, but they'll always have a special place in my heart and Betty's heart too. And there we learned something about trust. God was teaching us some things about faith, and then came Christian Challenge. We went through kind of about a 5-month transitional period. By the way, you've heard me tell the story of the $100 and the $1 bill, so I won't get into all that. That's when that happened, by the way. God was teaching me trust. Anybody ever heard that story? Raise your hand. 500 times over here, right? God teaches you through life experiences about how to trust Him. I mean, we don't know how to do a lot of things. We've got to have a lot of help. I had a friend that had a big tent down. I don't know why he put that tent down in the woods, but he held a tent revival and was called the Birdall Camp or Hood Camp or the Choctaw Indian Reservation area. So all day, I'll just show you real quick what happened. All day, I was going to get down there. And I had a $100 bill I'd been holding on to. You ever had one of them? I was holding on to that $100 bill. And I had a $1 bill in my billfold and a $100 bill. And I just figured if I could just get down to Sister Wise's store sometime during the week, I'll change that thing. I'm going to give him a big offer. I'm going to give him $20 all money. I mean, what can you buy with a dollar, folks? $100, you can buy a lot of stuff. But $20, I was going to give him a big blessing. God works with your mind. He makes you forget. He makes you remember. I forgot all day long. Went to the meeting that night. The man was preaching. And my billfold was burning a hole in my backside of my lap. Because I knew I had that $100 bill in my pocket. But I couldn't give him a $100 bill. I'd give him everything. My wife, I could have bought food with that. So you know the story. Sometimes I pass the offering plate, I gave a dollar. He got out, and Betty's over sitting behind me, her and I think Sister Rita Magana was over there. And there, she's watching me squirm, but she knows what's happening. See, my wife knows me better than anybody. She can read me like a book, I promise you. And I hate that. And she sees me squirming, and the guy's about 10 feet from me. I said, no, come on back. And I gave him the $100 bill. Dear Lord, I'm broke. And we started home that evening, and I promise you, the Holy Spirit came last. Because I heard him laugh in my spirit, and he said, if you'd have gave the 100, you'd have had a dollar right now. But as it was, you had to give the 100 and the dollar. You ever required you to give it all? It was kind of scary, but then you found out why. God blessed us tremendously. And so, I'm going to give you a real short on this part here. We were 2.5 years in Boys. I was ministering full-time, 7 times a week, full-time, full-blown services. Best thing that ever happened to me. It required me to study like I never studied before. I stayed in the Word hours, hours, and hours. We started a ministry in Natchitoches. We had a ministry in Boys. We had a ministry in Natchitoches. I was ministering for Brother Melvin Tisdale, also here in Alexandria. In fact, that's when we first met Crystal's mom and daddy here that time. Best thing that ever happened to you. If you were a teacher or a preacher, the best thing that ever happened to you, you have to do that. Because you have to study. And you have to seek God's faith. And you have to keep your heart right. And you got to keep your motives right. You've got to do it. Our God will honor what you do. You'll be a faker in the pulpit. Oh, you can fake some people out with a lot of emotionalism, but that won't be God's speaking. And so, 2.5 years in Boise, God began to deal with me in dreams and visions. And by the way, I'm not a prophet. Only anybody ever called me a prophet. I'm not an apostle. I'm just a pastor. God has always dealt with me in dreams and visions and words. And I think he does that to all of his servants, all of his people, especially during times of transition. I really like people being called prophets and apostles. It bothers me for some reason. I figure if you're an apostle, I'm going to give you a glass of water and ask you to turn it into wine. I'm going to see if you're one or not. Forgive me, that was, but I didn't mean to say that. I'm cool. I just don't like those titles, folks. If I had time, I don't have time, but I could tell you the exactness of things that God showed me of years ahead and months ahead through dreams and visions about Boise, what was going to happen in Boise, the upheaval of the roads, the big bridge is going to be across the river. Before we knew anything about that, God showed me all that and showed us to move to Pineville. So October 1978, we had a congregation in Boise. We had turned over about 3 times our congregation because nobody knew what we were doing. I didn't know. I didn't know what we were doing. God had told me to raise up a ministry on the order of the school of prophets of the Old Testament. Well, I wasn't a prophet, and I wasn't trying to make prophets out of anybody. I didn't realize till later that it's a mentoring society. You mentor disciples, Talmudim. You teach them the ways of the Lord, and you let them see the ways of the Lord in your own life. The teacher has to become an object of the lesson. I mean, folks, it's easy to preach faith. Anybody can teach faith. Can you walk in it? Can you prove the reality of God in your own life? And that's what ministry really is about. It's creating Talmudim. Talmudim sits at the feet, like I said earlier, and they become disciples of Jesus Christ. So we were in Boise 2.5 years. We relocated to Pineville. We were in the rented company building. We were the rented company church, I guess, for 8 years. We had that entire building rented for 8 years. Then we went to Pine Plaza Mall. We were there at Pine Plaza Mall for 3 years. We've been in this building over 15 years now. There is a story behind this building. I've been asked so many times to write about this about Christian Challenge, about how this building came together. Folks, we've lived debt-free. We don't make debt. We don't borrow money. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying God's got a way for you to do things. If you'll learn to do it His way, you'll get His results. So easy to shortcut everything He's doing and jumping in there and try to make things work. If you let Him work it, you'll do it right. It'll happen right for you. And so for the 15 years we've been here, and we've had missionaries, ministers, pastors. Our very first missionary to go out from this ministry was who it should have been, with my own son. Nathan sold his vehicle, went down to McAllen, Texas, and bought him a motorcycle. Moped looking thing, I guess is what it was. He's got his own experiences. Nathan and Lori, what an awesome testimony they have. Nathan went into Mexico and helped start 13 churches in Mexico. The last church they started in Coatzacoalcos is sending out their own missionaries now. Large church. God brought him back home because the father wanted this father to have his son be trained in the vision and the heartbeat of the ministry. Folks, nobody knows the vision and the heartbeat of the ministry more than the minister's family. A lot of times people complain because the minister's kids are so involved in the ministry. Well, you got no reason to complain, folks. Sometimes they're the only ones that do anything. Pardon me, not the case here, but many times it's the pastor's family that has to do it all, especially when you first get started. They have to mop and sweep and play the guitar and do everything else, so they're trained to be ministers. But then God adds to your family, so this is where we are now. It's 30 years later, but it's just a twinkle in the eye of God. What's the issue in all this? Well, nothing less than the second area, which is following the steps. Now, it's real easy to get deep at this point. I don't want to do that, but the steps of a man, the Bible says, are ordained by God. They're ordained of the Lord. And let me just share a couple of scriptures, because the steps that God gives you to follow, they don't get jumped out of anywhere. They were ordained for you before the foundation of the world. God had a pattern and something for you to do, and you learn to do it just by trusting in Him and then walking in obedience as He gives you the steps to walk in. But if you come back to Psalms 139, I'm just going to pick up a little bit. I know you're familiar with these scriptures or you love them. But I want you to listen to what this man David said. Psalm 139. I'm just going to read a little bit of Psalm 139. This is an awesome entire psalm to be read and studied. But listen to what he said. We're talking about following his steps. Psalm 139, beginning at verse number 1, says, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways, even before there's a word on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, You know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. I don't understand it, but I know that You're there. If you look at verse 17 of the same chapter, and verse 18, how precious also are Your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I am awake, I am still with You. In verse 23, search me, O God. How many folks have ever had to pray that prayer? More than once. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Lord, don't let me be someone who hurts people. Let me be a kind, gentle, tender person, with the nature of the lamb and the nature of the lion when it's necessary. But with Your people, be caring and loving and gentle and kind. And so we have this awesome scripture. Now I want you to see where your free will and God's will are going to work together. In the book of Psalms 86, I want you to listen wonderfully to this portion. Psalm 86. Verse 10 and 11, this is us, verse 10 and 11. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. You see that? That's us. Now, if you back up to 85, Psalm 85, please, and look at verses 9 through 13. This is God's ordained way. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs up from the earth, that's Jesus. And righteousness looks down from the heaven, that's Father. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Now listen carefully to this next statement. Righteousness will go before him. You notice him is capitalized. This is Jesus. And will make his footsteps into a way. The way of the cross. Do you see that? Now, Peter called Jesus the righteous one. And the footsteps that we are to walk in, they are the footsteps of the cross. That means at some point you've got to give up control of your life. You've got to give up somewhere. You've got to give up control of your life. And you find what that means in one statement. When Jesus was in the garden, and you saw the drama last night, you're just, golly, it's so awesome. You know, Jim was up there playing the Father, and he had the three grown angels, and they were just doing so wonderfully. Jonathan, the angel Jonathan, was wanting to get loose, go down there and help Jesus at the cross. You remember that? How the Father turned his back? But what happened actually in the garden that I wanted to point out. Jesus said, now the Father sent some angels to strengthen Jesus. But Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible with you. Said, remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Have you been to the garden of Abba? God's going to call you to the garden of Abba many times. Make you give up something that you're holding on to desperately in your own strength and your own power. Jesus was called to the garden of Abba. And he cried, Abba, Father. And Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 8 and also in the book of Galatians chapter 3 that Abba, Father expression is to be the expression of the heart of God's children. Where we can say Abba, Father, not just that God is our daddy, folks. I mean, that part's all right. But that's not what the scripture is expressing. It's expressing your will. I surrender and yield and give up my will to you, Almighty God. I trust you. Not my will, but yours be done, regardless of the cup that I'm given to drink. A lot of times you've had some cups God gave you to drink. But you said, but you were in the garden of Abba. And he's going to call you back to the garden of Abba more than once. It gets easier over time because you learn how to trust the Lord over time with very difficult things. And that's what we had to do with Christian Channel. We had some very difficult moments in our life. But I can say with David, I once was young, now I'm just a little older. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I have seen complexities of life, but you learn to take life and you choose the good. There's some things you have the power to change, but you do trust the Lord regardless. And so, every step that God's called us to make has been a call back to the garden. It brings me back to Christian Challenge. God's word to me was raised up ministry in Central Louisiana on the order of the School of the Prophets. I began to understand eventually what that was. We have a lot of courses that we teach in our school. We have one called The Disciple's Heart. Brother Lane's teaching now. It's the first time to teach that. I'm so glad Lane's in there because you learn to teach by teaching, and Lane's been through that class twice. The very first meditation you get in that class is in Isaiah chapter 50. I want you to see something, a prophetic word in Isaiah 50. And if you'll drop down to verse number 4, I just want you to listen to an awesome, wonderful portion of the scriptures. And this is the first devotion. This is the first meditation we teach you in what we call our disciples' heart. You'll find that in the first lesson plan. Verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheek to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting, for the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be ashamed. Now, you understand, folks, this has a prophetic intent. This is called a prophetic perfect. This is about Jesus Christ. But whatever is about Jesus Christ by rule of your connection to Him also applies to you. He was the great disciple, the leader, the Son of God, the firstborn of God's family and all creation. He's the pattern of life that we're to follow. And we follow that especially when we say the Abba Father. So we've trained several hundred disciples. As I said earlier, many have gone into other works. So what is it all about? My last area all about is all about a walk into eternity. Two things I try to stress in this ministry over the years. One thing Nathan brought out. I try desperately hard to get you to become a personal disciple of Jesus Christ where you know Him speaking into your life and you know that it's Him speaking to you. Well, it's alright if somebody wants to come prophesy over you. I don't put a lot of value in that, but it's alright. I don't want to come against it. I'd be wrong if I did that. But what value is that if you can't hear from God for yourself? What's the value? He said, my sheep hear my voice, they know my voice, another they will not follow. So we try desperately to stress the idea of you learning to hear from Jesus for yourself. Can you say amen? What else is it about? Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. If you can't be faithful in a little thing, you're certainly not going to be faithful in anything else. So we try to teach. We tried to teach this lesson that Betty and I were given. He who began a good work in you will perfect it in the day of Jesus Christ. And what God said to my wife, Betty, am I now seeking the favor of men or God? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be the bondservant of Christ. You cannot please men and be the servant of God. Doesn't mean you have to be offensive to men, but it means you cannot be a man pleaser. And so what you have to do is let go and let Jesus take over. Let go and let Jesus. You hold tightly to God and loosely to the world, folks. You say amen. Now, I want to introduce to you the most beautiful person in my life. Now, when you see a Christian child, you see me. I'm the one you see in the pulpit altogether. But I married a woman, Betty Sue Green Martin, and I received my first lessons in faith by this beautiful woman in my life. I watched her. I studied her. I thought, what an awesome lady to have in my life. We were in Los Alamos, New Mexico, not Los Alamos, we were in Moab, Utah. I was a policeman in Moab, Utah, on the police department in Grand Junction. But in Moab, I saw Betty, little neighborhood children get in and start teaching them, and I wondered about that. You know, why? What is her passion? Why does she do that? And I think the key to me understanding my wife, and I want Betty to come up and stand behind me just for a minute, if you would, Betty, come on. I know you don't like to do that, but please. If you don't, I want y'all to see this beautiful, beautiful lady. Come on up here, darling. Come up here, baby. By the way, these are the first sermon notes I ever preached at Christian Challenge. It was called A Look at the Beginning. I got sermon notes go back to 1965. Oh, come up here, baby. Isn't she beautiful? When I first looked into y'all didn't hear that. I got to tell you a little story. You've heard me tell it. When I first looked at my wife, we'd moved up from Louisiana. Stay here, darling. And I had a cousin that kept badgering me about going to church. I didn't want to go. I'd rather go to the bar. Back then, I liked the beer. But I got a cousin that kept badgering me to go to church. A Pentecostal cousin of mine, so she worried the warts out of me, and I finally went to church. And I saw Betty sitting there by her brother. I thought it was her husband, but it was her brother, so I didn't, you know, you don't look at a man's wife. But when I found out that she wasn't his wife, I said, I brought me a little alligator from Louisiana with me. And poor thing died in Colorado. I didn't know what to feed him hard enough. Everything I thought.
I had nothing to do with that.
But Betty came up one day, and I looked into those blue eyes, and when I looked up into those blue eyes, I think she was her. She was a daddy, I believe.
Her
brother. And I looked up in those blue eyes, and my toes started curling. I said, what in the world is this? This woman got something on me now, boy. See, when I got out of the Navy, Okay. Here's the story. And this is where I learned something about total commitment. And before I read this, I want to share something with you. There's a great lesson that women need to learn, a great lesson that men need to learn. Great lesson that Christian women need to learn is that when God created Eve, God created Adam and Eve, He didn't create Adam to form his life around Eve. He created Eve to form her life around Adam. Now that's the lesson women have to learn. Christian women. But there's a lesson that Christian men have to learn. If you don't treat your wife as a fellow heir of the grace of life, God's not going to hear your prayers. You've got to treat her like a queen. You've got to treat her right. She's one of God's children. I treat her right. I've never whooped her yet. One time, we first got married, she said I could, and I said I could.
And he did.
And I stretched her across my apron, and I paddled her a little bit. Boy, did she get mad. See, that was all in fun. But here's the story. I've never seen this. This woman, a lot of you men can say this, that your wife had a great, great, great impact on your life. We had our firstborn son. We were in Colorado. I wanted my daddy to see my son. There's something about fathers and fathers. They're fathers and their daddies. I mean, fathers and mothers have a very unique, special relationship. Sons and mothers have a relationship. But there's something about a father to his father. I wanted my daddy to see my son. But I didn't want to take her away from her family. Her family's in Colorado. My family's in Louisiana. So being the fair-minded man that I am, I got me a map and I drew me a line from Colorado, Montrose, Colorado, down here in Sharp, Louisiana. And I got me a ruler out and I got exactly halfway. Now you can't go any better than that, folks. I went exactly halfway. I said, now I'm going to see if my wife will go halfway. That way, we could reach her family and reach my family, and that would be fair. Now, isn't that fair? Don't you women think that's fair? Oh, boy. Anyway, I had that map, and I had it where I could get to it real easy. So I went in and talked to my wife, and I kind of eased up to her. I said, you know, maybe I'd like my daddy to see my boy. I don't know what else I said, but she reached for her King James Bible. I'm going to read out of the American Standard. She just started reading this. I want you to listen to it. This is Naomi speaking to Ruth and Martha. Ruth said, this is Betty talking to me, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. I never heard words like that. I never heard a woman, I never thought a woman could even say something like that. I mean, I was trying to be fair. She went beyond. That was her Abba. That was her garden experience. I'm willing to join my life to yours and walk with you wherever that may be. And it's been that way. We buried a son already down in this country. We've got our family cemetery that we'll be buried in. And I don't know how the Lord will ever do this. We've asked to let us just go together. But I don't know. Something he didn't tell me he's going to do that. But see, I love this woman. She's Christian Challenge, folks. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes of this church that my wife and a lot of the women of the church are very much responsible for. And I honor her and I honor the women of the church. I honor you men also. Thank God for you. I guess my point is, have you been to the Abba Garden lately? Women, have you been there? Men, have you been there? Have you joined your lives together in covenant, in relationship with Jesus the way it's supposed to be done? This is my gift. God says that a wife is his gift to the husband. Can I kiss her? I can kiss better than that now. My wife wakes up every morning, looks in my eyes, she says, boy, you are ill. Well, not exactly with those words, but I only have two more scriptures. We begin our earthly walk in this life. God's ordained our steps. Our last step's going to be into eternity. How do I know that? Because the Bible says God has placed eternity in our hearts. And the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Micah said that Messiah, that is Jesus going forth, had been from eternity. And I want you to see something Paul says in 2 Timothy. Go with me, please. We'll read this one more scripture, then I'll turn it back to Nathan. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8 through verse 11, Paul said to the young disciple Timothy, Timothy was like his son in the Lord, he said, Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now hath been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light in the gospel. I'll not read further there. From all eternity you were saved. You've often heard me say this, folks. Anyone who's ever going to be saved, their names are already in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a matter of them finding out and us finding them. The gospel finds them. I think that in the heart of every child of God, you know, you answer the call of eternity, you're ready for your walk. Are you walking in obedience to your call? I think I can tell you that what's in the heart of every child, every true disciple of Jesus Christ, every obedient saint, this is my last scripture. If you go with me to Psalm 42, I want you to listen to what sweet psalmist said. This has been my prayer so often. It says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Are you listening? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Is that a good question to ask, Lord? I look forward, I'm anxiously waiting for the time that I get to stand before you in your throne. And what I want to hear God to say, I want to hear him say more than anything else, and I know I'm unworthy of this saying, but I have floundered and failed so many times. I would just love to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now come on, I'm going to let you do some things. Amen. In Jesus' name. Little as much, when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame, There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Amen. Nathan's going to come back up here. I just want to ask you, I don't want to leave my part of the ministry out. If there's a purpose, I say a purpose, if you'd like to come up here to rededicate your life to the Lord, read whatever it may be. If you need to be anointed, just pray for it. I'm going to ask you. Feel free to come up right now. If you feel like everything's fine, then, you know, a lot of this kind of business can be taken care of where you are.